97.5 The Fanatic.
What a pleasant Saturday afternoon to you and yours. Hope you're staying safe, happy, and healthy here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome in. I'm Tyler Zulli, Dylan McKinnon producing the show. We take you until 7 o'clock this evening. We have a long four-hour run and a lot of fun to get into. So why don't we just jump right into things before we get into some of our fun. So, first things first, we will get into the topical point of the day, which, of course, is Damian Lillard. Now, at the beginning of the day, or at the beginning of the day yesterday, I should say, you heard from reports that Damian Lillard will, in fact, request a trade at some point in the coming days. And there were multiple reports from multiple different reputable sources who were giving teams that were, quote, front runners. And then, of course, after the USA Olympic practice, Damian Lillard speaks to the media and says, you know, he's not quite sure what his future holds. He said he has not asked for a request as of yet, and he's not quite sure what the future holds. I don't know about you, and I'm not one to try to decipher in between somebody's words, because only the speaker of the words knows exactly what they intended, and maybe Damian Lillard truly has not made a decision on if he wants out of Portland or not. But I don't know about you, but I felt as if Damian Lillard was being team-friendly in saying, yeah, I'm not quite sure just yet. But to me, from a guy who, for his entirety, in the entirety of his career, sat there and said, I want to win in Portland. I want to win in Portland. I want to win in Portland. It's a little strange to me that all of a sudden now it's, I'm not quite sure. And if it's a little strange that all of a sudden it's, I haven't quite made my decision up yet, that leads me to believe that Damian Lillard is not going to go to the media and say, I want out, but he might go to the Trailblazers and say, I want out. So if he goes to the Trailblazers and says, I want out, they're not going to keep him. You're not going to keep a disgruntled superstar. Now, of course, you're not going to make a trade just to make a trade, but you will, in fact, at least find a suitor. And you'll gauge the market, and you'll see what the trade value of a disgruntled superstar actually is. We saw this happen last season with James Harden wanting out of Houston. And he ends up with the Brooklyn Nets, and the return in the four-team trade is really not all that splendid, especially when you consider the fact that at the time, the return could have been Ben Simmons. Now, we know what that transpired to be, but at the time, you knew that the return could have been Ben Simmons. So, all of that to say, if Damian Lillard wants out of Portland, whether it's privately or publicly, which team gives Damian Lillard the best opportunity to win a championship? Because my assumption is, knowing the player that Damian Lillard is, knowing the competitor that Damian Lillard is, he's going to want to go somewhere that is a championship contender. How much more does he have to, how much more does he need to be part of a championship contender? Because when you put a player like Damian Lillard on a team, they automatically get better. 99.9% of the time, they get better. Because there may be one where it's like, hey, put him on the 96 Bulls and you take Jordan off instead. And it's, you know, that's the extreme. But almost every time you put a player of the caliber of Damian Lillard on a new team, that team gets better. But how much better? Because quite frankly, half the teams in the league don't qualify for a player like Damian Lillard because they're not good enough. So you can take out the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Detroit Pistons, the Houston Rockets, Charlotte Hornets. You can take all of those teams out that are either bad or average. Take them all out. That's 15 teams right there, right? You're going to take Portland off the list because he's not, we don't think, in this hypothetical, he's not staying. That gets you down to like 14 teams. So when you get down to the real playoff contenders, I think there's pretenders within playoff contenders. I don't think he's going to Washington. I don't think he's going to go to Boston. So you start to kind of get that list down a little bit further, and it really brings you into single digits. So that brings me to the question of the day. Which team does Damian Lillard have the best opportunity to win a championship on right away? And by the way, there's a couple of teams that you have to take off the list because there's no feasible way for them to do it, you think. I don't think the Brooklyn Nets are on that list. They've made their team, right? They've made their decisions. Brooklyn's not on that list. I don't think Milwaukee's on that list. They've made their team. That's another two teams out right there. Couple of teams are interesting. Couple of teams are more fathomable. And then there's a couple of teams who are really the concrete teams. So that really gets you down to like maybe deciding on one hand the number of teams that could be the concrete teams. So the question is, which of these, you know, five, six, seven teams, if you're going down to one hand, it's only five, are the best suited, are best suited to give Damian Lillard what he wants, an NBA championship. And despite the fact that I don't know if it could get any more bleak than it did a season ago for the Sixers and for us as Sixers fans, when you pair everything together, trade return for the Portland Trailblazers. They're not going to give them up for free. Teams that are interested, that have the ability, and are championship contenders. When you put all of that together, if Damian Lillard is in fact requesting a trade from the Portland Trailblazers, which has not happened yet, but if he does, at least publicly it has not happened yet, if he does, there is not one team that fits every one of those criteria more than the Philadelphia 76ers. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. Are the Sixers the best championship fit for Damian Lillard? Because remember, you have to take all of those other things into account. What do they have to give in return for Damian Lillard? The price is still going to be high, even if he does, in fact, ask out. Are they a championship contending team without him, and he puts them over the top? So, I've come down to what I believe to be the four best options for Damian Lillard. It's not like I've put this list together, but it's the four that I believe are the strongest list for Damian Lillard to become an NBA champion. One of them, I think, is way behind in fourth place. And then the other three, you could mix and match in any particular way you want. So, if you go on Twitter, you can go at Tyler Zuli and at 97.5 The Fanatic. The question is, which team gives Damian Lillard the best chance to win an NBA championship? Your options are your Philadelphia 76ers, the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the New York Knicks. And I will tell you right away, New York is a way distant fourth for a couple of reasons. First, the trade return for Damian Lillard from New York is not equal to what the other three teams can put together. At least not equal to what the other two teams, I should say, two of these three teams should be able to put together. I like RJ Barrett. I like Emmanuel Quickley. But if you're going to use those two guys, you would assume, as staples to acquire Damian Lillard, it's going to be Damian Lillard and Julius Randle. Is that enough to win an NBA championship? I don't think so. So that really brings you down to three of these four teams. And that poll, again, you can find on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I think that that is, the early returns on this poll are kind of where I expected them to be, with the three teams ahead of New York and kind of exactly where I expected it to be. So we're going to have that conversation over the course of the next 4 hours. Is Philadelphia the best basketball decision for Damian Lillard trade-wise? Obviously, he can't totally dictate where he goes, but as a superstar and one that once may want out of Portland, reportedly may want out of Portland, he does have some cachet to say, I would like to go to fill in the blank. And Portland, while not obligated to send Damian Lillard to that team in that city, will do what they can to make it work. So that's the first topic of the day. Topic number two. Earlier this week, Cole Hamels threw a simulated session, I guess you could call it, in front of scouts in hopes of getting back into Major League Baseball. Last year, he pitched once, and before that, you know, with Chicago, he had a 3.80 ERA. I thought he was decent in that full season. With the Phillies being where they're at, 45-45 on the regular season, after splitting with the Miami Marlins yesterday, does Cole Hamels give you enough optimism if the Phillies were to sign Cole Hamels, who, by the way, reportedly was routinely throwing average of 88 miles an hour and got over 90 a couple times? We'll talk about that. I will say this, that doesn't bother me. Does Cole Hamels do enough for you to give you optimism heading into a second half of the season? Kind of like Pedro Martinez did for the Phillies in 2009. Granted, that team was substantially better. Not comparing the two teams. But when Pedro Martinez was brought in to pitch because of the fact that Hamels was struggling and Hap had been hurt a couple of times during the season, they bring Martinez in and he's a spark for the team. Pitches well down the stretch. Can Cole Hamels do the same thing? And finally, today at 7:30, weather permitting, of course, because the weather looks just awful. At 7:30 today, the Union gets set to take on DC United. The Union have had, when you go in totality, the Union have had an impressive stretch, of which they've lost just once in MLS play in 10 games. When you shrink to the micro, the Union have also only won just once since the return from the international break. That's almost a month. I think it was 5 games in almost a month. Is tonight the night they break that trend and get a victory over DC United? So that's the three things we're going to get into today. Damian Lillard, Cole Hamels, do the Union get the W over DC United? And why? 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. We'll also, we've got quite a bit of non-sports related things to talk about. So I want to get the first one out there right now because it's getting the most traction of the non-sports related things that we've discussed so far on Twitter. The question is that I asked, can you objectively say that a musical artist is great and then also say that you do not like that artist? Doesn't mean that you don't think they're great, but can a musical artist be objectively great and you don't like them? So I'll give you an example, the one that I always use. I recognize that the band Rush, and Tyrone Johnson and I talked about this yesterday while we were together from 2 to 6. I recognize that the band Rush is a historically significant band in rock history. It's historically significant for the fact that Neil Peart is the all-time great drummer. All-time great. It also is significant because they are one of Canada's all-time bands. They're a staple in Canadian rock music. I get everything that Rush does. I don't like Rush. More specifically, I don't like Geddy Lee's voice. It irks me. I don't know why, but it's always been that way. So one of the polls that we do have tonight going is, can you objectively say a band or an artist, doesn't have to be a band, I just used a band because that's mine, but can an artist be objectively great, but you don't like them? 610-632-0975 is, in fact, the number to join the conversation. Let's go to Brian in South Jersey to start us off today. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for making the call.
Yeah, no problem, man. I love you guys. You guys are awesome to talk to.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Damian Lillard thing. I feel like I like the options that you have about the teams, and I do think the Sixers are definitely ahead of the other teams. But I feel like Golden State Warriors could possibly be in the mix too. I mean, they have two draft picks that they can play with that are very, very top draft picks. Plus, they got Wiggins, who's a scorer. And I feel like Ben Simmons' offensive game is not really that great. So I feel like they don't really need offense, and he could definitely help them on defensive end because they have Curry, Thompson, and Draymond Green.
So when you talk about the Warriors, that's the thing, right? Wiggins is probably the money match, because that would be my assumption, is they're going to use Wiggins as the monetary match, because they're not right. equal talent-wise, but that's how you monetarily match things up. Is Wiggins 7-14 good enough to get that trade done?
I mean, if I'm the Sixers, I mean, you're getting a player that can definitely score the ball. I mean, you're giving up somebody that Ben Simmons is showing he really can't score, but he can definitely play defense. I think the Warriors, on the other hand, would take his defense because they don't really need his offense. I mean, you got Clay, you got...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about for Damian Lillard. You're talking about for Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean, if... No, I apologize. I was talking about Damian Lillard. I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like him going there, yeah, I think that's enough to get Portland. I think to get two picks in the top 15,
sure,
along with a proven scorer, I mean... Portland needs something, and you can't just let them walk for nothing. So,
okay, so
I feel like that's definitely a package that would be very desirable for Golden State.
Let me give you two trade packages, and you tell me which one is better.
Sure.
Wiggins, 7-14, or Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybul, and 3 first-round picks.
I mean, I definitely think the 3 first-round picks is very intriguing.
Granted, they're probably going to be towards the back end of the draft. You expect the Sixers to be good.
Yeah, they're going to be high picks. I mean, I figure you could also package 2 Golden State Warrior picks to maybe move up in the top 3 or 4. I mean, so you'd be talking about a top 3 player who could be a superstar, and then you got a Wiggins who could be an all-star. I mean, I feel like that's a pretty good package.
I don't disagree. I'm not a huge Andrew Wiggins fan. I mean, I think he's, you know, he puts up good numbers. I'm not necessarily totally sold on Andrew Wiggins as being like a focal point of the draft, or of the trade. If you're going to use 7-14 to move up, you know, obviously it's become pretty obvious that Cade Cunningham is the number 1 pick, and that's going to be that. And that's a pretty valuable selection, right? Because they're talking about how does Detroit get the most value for it. And I think, quite frankly, the most value for Cade Cunningham is to select Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't trade out of that spot if I was Detroit. But
all right, so what would you have on Cole Hamels, by the way?
Oh, I think Cole Hamels would be a great addition. I mean, because if anything else, he's got to be better than Matt Moore and Velasquez. I mean, Velasquez sucks. He's horrible. Every time he pitches, I mean, he hasn't been pitching good lately, but you can't depend on him. I mean, Matt Moore's been a little consistent lately, so he's been better, but... You get 4 innings out of Matt Moore, and you're lucky. 4 or 5 innings, that's what you basically look for. I feel like Cole Hamels can give you at least 5 innings, maybe even 6.
Brian, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for starting us off today. 610-632-0975. You know what's funny about Matt Moore? He brings up Matt Moore. The Phillies are 7-1 in Matt Moore's starts this year. That's disgusting. Because he goes 4 1/3 yesterday, and that's, I guess, good enough when you're playing 7 that you can use your bullpen for 2 2/3 and you're not super taxed, but you are playing 2 games, so you kind of have to balance the two. I texted Tyrone today. He was talking about Cole Hamels a little bit and discussing, you know, Matt Moore and things like that. I would not be, and I know that it's a roster spot thing, I would not be opposed to using Moore and Hamels as like a tandem. to the point where it's like, if you can get seven innings out of the two guys together in whatever capacity it might be, whether you start Moore and use Hamels out of the bullpen or vice versa, I really would not be opposed to that, because at the end of the day, I need 27 outs. And I don't care how I get the 27 outs. If I can get 21 of them from those two guys every 5 days, I'll take it. I think it works. It's unconventional to use two starters every day, but you're not going to have, you know, you're still going to have five starters. So you're going to still use Velasquez. You're going to still use Moore. You're going to still obviously use your three bigger pitchers in Wheeler and Nola and Eflin. I'm not necessarily against that, of using the two of them in tandem. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. Apparently, we have some breaking news. Yes, so according to... Dylan, you did just have it, and I lost it. I'm sorry. According to Pierre LeBrun, the Flyers have acquired Ryan Ellis in exchange for Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers. So Ryan Ellis, obviously of the Nashville Predators, will be joining the Flyers, and former number two overall pick Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers will be heading to Nashville. So we'll break that down on the other side as well. We'll kind of get thoughts on that. Just early thoughts. I think it's a good trade. We'll discuss it more on the other side, but I think this is actually a pretty good trade for the Flyers. Oh, actually, by the way, it looks like it's a three-team trade. It looks like Vegas may be involved as well. So we'll talk about that on the other side. 610-632-0975. We're just getting started here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli. We take you until 7 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
You had to do it, huh? So you do understand that you've got a non-Rush fan on the air. I say this and he comes back with Tom Sawyer. Of course he does. That's good work by you, Dylan. Welcome back to the show. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. 331 here on The Fanatic. That, of course, is the great Dylan McKinnon producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli as we take you until 7 o'clock. We'll get back to the Damian Lillard conversation. We're going to get back to the Cole Hamels conversation. And does he make the Phillies, does he at least make you more optimistic if you were to be able to say, hey, Cole Hamels is in the rotation as well? We'll get back to all of that as well. But, of course, we left right as we were heading to break. Of course, we get the trade alert that the Flyers have acquired defenseman Ryan Ellis from the Nashville Predators in exchange for Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers. Nolan Patrick, then, it is a three-team trade, will go to Vegas in exchange for Cody Glass. And this man was just on the air for 3 hours, and I know he probably was driving home thinking, all right, I'm done for the day, I'm just going to go relax, and then this news breaks. I text him, of course, because he is our primary hockey source at 97.5 The Fanatic, and he knows more, or he has forgotten more than I'll ever know about the game of hockey and the Flyers as a whole. So joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, being kind enough to give us just a couple more minutes of his time after 3 hours today, is Jason Martinez. Jason, I know you thought you were done for the day, but thanks for giving us a couple more minutes.
Yeah, I guess Chuck didn't get my hours for the day, Chuck Fletcher, the Flyers GM, and could have helped me out and just did this at noon, and I would have had it to be able to talk about on the show today. But
yeah, I think we got to when we get the schedule from Coach Camille, we'll forward it to Chuck Fletcher, and that way we know if there's any breaking news that you're on the air.
Yeah, well, there was a deadline today, and that was 3 o'clock for a roster freeze in the league because of the expansion draft. The list will become they have to be submitted now, and they'll become public tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on which teams are protecting what players and by virtue of what players are not being protected. So there was a lot of movement around the league today. There's going to be a ton more after the expansion draft. And, you know, the Flyers got in on the action today and solved a huge problem, which is, you know, right side, top pairing, right shot defenseman by acquiring Ryan Ellis.
So, obviously, they get a 30-year-old defenseman in Ryan Ellis, and you just mentioned it's a huge hole that they've filled. So, I guess in the macro view of things, to begin things off, for Flyers fans that may not watch a ton of Predators hockey and may not be checking in on Nashville all the time, what should the Flyers or Flyers fans know about Ryan Ellis, their newest defenseman?
Yeah, you're right. He's 30 years old. He's under contract for 5 more years. He just, I think, finished the second year of his deal. He's got a cap hit of 6.25, I believe, off the top of my head. And he's a guy that plays 23 minutes a night. He's not a big guy. He's not one of those huge horses. He's, I think, 5'10", about 180 pounds, but can play the minutes, play the role. Will be a very good fit alongside Ivan Provorov. And what this does is it solves the problem for multiple years, not just a Band-Aid like Matt Niskanen was. And, you know, you have to have that consistency in defensive pairings in hockey like you do an offensive line in football, because you need to know that the guys on the ice need to know where that guy is going to be. And when you're constantly changing partners and you have to turn to look where a guy is going to be and you just don't know instinctively, that's an issue. So he's a guy that does fill that void. And his cap hit's not huge. If you would have acquired Seth Jones and extended him under a new contract or gone out and gotten Dougie Hamilton, it would have been far north of that number. And this allows the Flyers the flexibility to not only check that very important box, and that was their number one need, but it also allows them now to have flexibility to bolster their second pair because the cap hit on Ryan Ellis is not that big, and also, help out your top nine forwards, maybe a third center option with now Nolan Patrick departing as well with Phil Myers.
So when you look at his numbers, Ryan Ellis, outside of this year, because he only played 35 games, outside of this year, he had five consecutive seasons of at least 32 points or more. And obviously, when you're talking about a defensive player, the number you don't necessarily need offense. But what does he bring to the offensive side of things? Like I said, a guy that has 32 points or more in five consecutive seasons.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's going to be able to do a lot of the things that Matt Niskanen did and really be a good complementary piece and be a good defender when Provorov activates as an offensive player in the rush and vice versa. So that's why the fit's good with these two players. And, you know, he the one thing that he brings, and I talked about this on my Flyers Daily podcast yesterday because I was speculating that this was about to happen, is the one thing he brings buckets of is character and leadership. And we've talked about this team needing to turn over its core a bit, and they're going to do that. And I think Jake Voracek's going to be another player that's not going to be here. But he brings a ton of that character and leadership to this team, and they need that. And you need more than one guy leads on a hockey team. And he's a veteran guy that helps out the younger defenders like Provorov, like Sanheim, in the ways that Niskanen did. And he also can play a really good 200-foot game in the NHL game the way it's played today. So I think it's a great fit, and the cap hit I think is very attractive. And now it's going to be, you know, what other boxes can Chuck Fletcher check after the expansion draft as a result of this. They do now have another position that's open for protection because Nolan Patrick would have been protected. Ellis slides into that spot that would have been used for Phil Myers to protect, but now you have an extra forward spot, and how he fills this 3C role, the third center role, is going to be really interesting because now he's got a lot of flexibility. He's got a lot of assets and organizational currency to deal with and make some other big things happen. So this is just the beginning, but it's a great beginning because you check your most important box of a right side, right shot defenseman that can play north of 23 minutes a night alongside Ivan Provorov.
So you mentioned, obviously, on the podcast you thought that this was coming. I saw your tweet just a couple of moments ago that you weren't. Somebody asked you, "Are you shocked?" You said no. Where did that cut? You know, where did this start to develop in terms of you go, okay, this is a trade that I think is going to happen. It happens just a day or two later. Why did you see this as a potential landing spot for Ellis?
Well, I saw during the season, up toward the trade deadline, that Nashville was considering shopping Matthias Ekholm, who's a left shot guy and a left side defenseman. And it became clear to me from some people that I talked to that Ryan Ellis was a target then. I think a lot of the groundwork was laid back then. And this was a guy that they targeted. They definitely checked in and were very interested in Seth Jones. But when it became apparent that he was not going to make a decision on extending, and it would have just been a rental with the possibility to extend, I think they shifted their focus back over to Ryan Ellis, knowing that they needed to check more than just one box. And, you know, the salary of Ellis was the thing that helps this. It gives you certainty for 5 years under contract. He fits the role from a hockey standpoint, a character and leadership standpoint, and allows them to check other boxes. So I think this one, it became obvious when, you know, Seth Jones to me was not going to give that word on whether they were going to extend or not, that this was the primary target. It was something that I've been alluding to for about a week on the podcast, that I thought this was the target, and allows them that flexibility to add in other areas and make this offseason more considerable in players turned over and in construction of the team.
Jason Mertidis joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline to discuss the breaking news that, of course, the Philadelphia Flyers have acquired defenseman Ryan Ellis in a three-team trade that, for the Flyers' sake, sends Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers to either Nashville and then flipped, of course, Patrick heading to Vegas. Jason, I don't want to take up too much of your time because you just did 3 hours, so I know that you're probably getting ready to head home and relax for the evening. I have to ask you this question. It's non-hockey related, but I got into this argument a little bit with Tyrone yesterday, and I'm continuing the trend today with the show. We're talking about, you know, music, and you and I have very similar music tastes. So I'm interested to hear your response to this question. First off, can you objectively say that a musical artist is great, even though you may not personally like their music? And second, if you do say yes to that question, who is that artist or band or musician for you?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I can respect somebody musically and their musicianship or their ability to write songs that connect with people and not be a fan of it. For instance, I'm not a fan of Bruce Springsteen. I find it incredibly cheesy, and it just doesn't speak to me. But obviously, he's a great performer, and he's got legions and legions of fans. But yeah, I think you can. You know, I look at music. To me, there's music so subjective. It's very simple. There's two kinds of music. There's good music and there's bad music. And, you know, it's up to it's the eye of the beholder, if you will. It's what you like. Nobody can tell me that what I like isn't good because I think it's good and it hits me in a certain way, whether it's musically, lyrically, or something else, emotionally. And so to me, and as a musician myself, you know, like, I love great musicianship, but sometimes musicianship doesn't speak to me in my gut. So, yeah, I think you can, you know, think a musician's a great musician or whatever, but not be your taste.
Jason, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate all of your time today. You did 3 hours. You're putting in some overtime here with this breaking news. Thank you so much for joining us for a couple minutes to give us some more insight on the newest Flyer.
Cool. Thanks. See you, Ty.
Jason Mertidis, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. No one I'd rather hear from as breaking news happens from the Flyer standpoint than Jason. So really thankful for his time.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show, 502 here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon producing. I'm Tyler Zulli. We take you until 7. And then at 7, Pat Egan will take you from 7 to 10. Dylan, you're here for another 47 hours or so. Doing great work today. So thank you so much for all of your hard work throughout the show and making sure that we have the right bump back music, because Metallica is not overrated, even though our Karate Mark checked back in, by the way. He goes, that last Metallica track was for he and his wife. And he added you, Dylan, and said, and Dylan McKinnon, I'll pass. Mark, you're killing me, man. I love you, but you're hurting my heart. That's one of my bands, man. You're hurting my heart. The reason that that is brought up, by the way, is because I put out a tweet earlier in the show and said, can you objectively, because Tyrone and I were talking about this yesterday, said, can you objectively say a musical artist is great despite you not personally liking their music? And we've gotten a ton of responses. This has 27 responses, 3 quote tweets. Dylan, you quote tweeted it with one, an answer. And I think it's a great answer because you said the Eagles. And I think it's a fair answer. I love the Eagles. I know that they're also great, but you recognize their impact to rock and to music, but you just, you're not quite getting behind the Eagles. I get it. We've gotten Pink Floyd, Dave Matthews, couple of Led Zeppelins, a couple of Metallicas. Tyrone's not going to like this, but M. Will, Penny Rogers says, yep, Prince. I don't know a single song of his in its entirety, but I realize how musically talented he is. Prince is an all-time great. You can't, I get it, to each their own, but Prince is an all-time great. The Beatles, Beyonce, Queen, Fish, couple more Beatles, couple more Metallicas, Zeppelin again, another Prince, that's 3 Princes, a couple of U2s, couple of agreeing with me with Rush, and one agreeing with you, Dylan, for the Eagles. So, AJ tweets at me, by the way, says, notice no one offers to help with moving, right? I actually, AJ, I'm very lucky. I had 4 people help me. So my father and 3 friends gave me a hand today. And like I said in the last segment, they were so tremendously helpful in making it a quick experience, because I did have to get here today and I had multiple stops to make along the way. So to those 4, I can't say thank you enough. So AJ, I did have help. It wasn't just me, thankfully. So we're talking about a ton of different things today. We started with the Damian Lillard trade rumors and conversation. The Flyers news broke just right as the first segment was ending today that the Flyers acquired Ryan Ellis from the Nashville Predators in exchange for Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers. And by the way, the deadline has officially passed for the Flyers and all NHL teams to set their 12 protected player list. So we will see shortly, I assume, which players the Flyers have protected moving forward as the expansion draft looms closer for the Seattle Kraken. Finally, the last thing that we were discussing sports-wise was in about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, the Union kickoff against DC United. And quite frankly, I don't feel great about this game. Down to the third-string goaltender, because Freeze gets the red card, and of course, Andre Blake is playing for Jamaica currently. No Corey Burke today as well for Jamaica. Just 1 win in their last 5 appearances. I don't feel great. So if you're heading down to the game, I know the weather is starting to get pretty gnarly looking out there. I'm kind of like looking through a couple of different windows and it's getting pretty ugly looking. I know the weather's supposed to get pretty bad. So if you're heading down to the game, give me a reason as to why I should feel good about this game, because quite frankly, I don't. And I know they beat DC United early in the year, but I don't feel great about this game. And finally, for a pair of FanFest tickets, I'm asking you for a player, because Ted Ginn retired today after a decade-long career in the NFL, after being a first-round selection by the Miami Dolphins, one of the all-time great kick and punt returners, had a good career as a wide receiver as well. I think a career that is underrated and will at one point maybe be forgotten among the mix of really good careers amongst NFL players. So I came up with a list. I came up with four players, one from the NBA, the MLB, the NFL, and the NHL, all who have played in the 2000s since. So we're not going all the way back to the 40s or the 70s or anything like that. I got four players here. If you give me one of those four players who are going to be underrated and underappreciated by future generations, you automatically get a pair of FanFest tickets. If you give me a great name that I've not thought of, that Dylan hasn't thought of, but we think is awesome, you'll qualify. And in fact, we've not given out any pairs yet, so the likelihood of you getting some tickets is pretty strong. 610-632-0975. We'll go to Mark next in Mount Airy. Mark, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you making the call.
Hey, no problem. I just got to start off by saying that anybody that had Prince in their list, that's a flat-out violation.
I think that's bad. Prince is an all-time great. But remember, Mark, it is somewhat subjective, right? Because we're talking about bands or artists you like or don't like. But you're still saying, you know, objectively they're good.
Yeah. And just when it comes to Prince, seeing how, like, so many people remake his music or he's written for so many people, it's like, come on, man. You can't say it, right?
He's an all-time great.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, really quickly, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Are you on, like, a speaker or Bluetooth?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, can you go to the handset? Just getting some echo in your return.
Okay, no problem.
Gotcha. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Is that better?
Yep. Thank you.
Yep. But as far as I just wanted to, I guess, weigh in on the Dame Lillard situation. I think that he would be. I think he would, as far as teams that are actually in the hunt for a championship, I think the Sixers offer the best value in the trade-wise and can still be in the hunt. But the Sixers aren't the best team that he could go to.
I think that's a really good distinction. And that's something we talked about a little bit ago. I'm going to let you tell me because I don't want to make assumptions. But I was saying the best team to go to would, in fact, be the Lakers. But I don't know if they have the trade value to be able to make that move.
Yeah, I would say, like, I mean, the Lakers would be the best team for him to go to because of the need, but they don't have the value to give for a Dame Lillard. So it's kind of like, well, that's out the window. So,
right.
Yeah, I would agree with you about the Lakers.
So when you think about the teams that do, in fact, have the not just the ability to win, but also the trade capacity to make that move realistic, how many of them are there, right? Like, there's a couple. So you feel good about the Sixers if that's the case, right?
Yeah, I would feel good about the Sixers, depending on how much of their future they're willing to give up. You could possibly feel good about New Orleans, because maybe he would want to go with a big man, like go down with a big man that could score in the paint.
Sure.
And they have Lonzo that they could give up. And, you know, like I said, it depends on how much, like, draft picks New Orleans is willing to give up in that particular situation. But I don't think it's as realistic. I don't think anybody's situation is as realistic as the Sixers is.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find, you know, because obviously I'm not as locked into, you know, sites and things like that from New Orleans or from the LA, you know, whatever it might be. I'm trying to find what the Pelicans beat writers are coming up with as a trade scenario for Damian Lillard. It looks like, let's see, looks like they've got, I can't find it right away, but I will find it and I'll put it out in the air, Mark. Hey, do you have that underrated player from the 2000s that you think might get a little bit lost as time goes on?
Yes, I have two.
Okay.
My first one, keeping it in New Orleans because Tekken played in New Orleans as well. Lance Moore is for
Moore's
the Saints.
A good one.
And, like, I really enjoyed Lance Moore's play.
Sure.
And he had a couple really good years. He had a 80 reception, like a 80 reception year.
Sure.
And he had a 1,000 yard year, and he always stayed like pretty close to that 1,000 yard mark. And he was very pivotal in that championship run.
Okay, and then who's your other one?
Rajon Rondo.
Rondo's a great one, too. I don't have either of them, Mark, but they are great. So if you don't have FanFest tickets, I'm going to put you up on hold, and we'll get you qualified for a pair of FanFest tickets, and Dylan will grab your information. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. Is Rondo a Hall of Famer? I don't know how to answer that question. Because immediately I would say no. But then I backtrack a little bit and I start to think about it. Maybe he is. I wonder what the opinion of many would be. Is Rondo a Hall of Famer? Not a topic of conversation today, just a question that I have personally. Is Rondo a Hall of Famer? It's interesting. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. Let's go next to Mike on the cell. What's up, Mike? Mike. All right, we're going to put Mike on hold and see if we can check in with Mike as soon as Dylan is done with grabbing Mark's information. And in the meanwhile, we'll go to John in Huntington Valley up next in the Fanatic. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, how are you?
Rondo's probably definitely a Hall of Famer.
I think thinking about the numbers, he probably is.
Ridiculous. But with the Lillard trade,
yeah.
I mean, as much as I hate to say this, he might still be able to go to Brooklyn because Brooklyn can get rid of Kyrie or Harden.
So we were talking about them earlier, and so I guess the question becomes, you have to ask yourself, is Lillard substantially better than Irving? I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes to that. Is Lillard substantially better than Harden?
Yes.
Okay, that's a tougher one for me. I love Lillard, and I think Harden's one of the all-time great scorers, so you kind of have to pair the two together. I don't know which one that would... Like, so the trade, I guess, would just be one for one, right? But are those two teams going to be willing to make that move?
The reason why I say he's better than Harden is because, I mean, I think we all saw it this year. He's shot. I mean, his hand he gave out, and that's just something that's just going to nag him for the rest of his career.
Well, of course, you got to think about the injury, right, and how he's going to return and healthy. But so really the question for Portland then is, if Portland is trying to rebuild because they're not going to win with Damian Lillard, are they really rebuilding if they bring in James Harden?
No. But
right.
It might end up being a three-way trade between us, Brooklyn, and them, and somehow they end up getting Lillard, and we might get the consolation prize.
Well, then if they get Lillard, then what is the, and it's a three-team trade, what do the Sixers end up with?
We might get McCollum.
So you would both would be traded. So I assume you're saying that it's Simmons in that deal for McCollum?
Yep. So and then, we wouldn't have to get rid of Maxey.
Then you're just going to make the trade straight. You're not going to involve Brooklyn in the trade.
Right.
You would just make the trade straight up McCollum for Simmons. And quite frankly, John, I don't make that trade. McCollum is...
I wouldn't either, but it's just I just have a bad feeling about it.
John, really quickly, do you have a player from the 2000s, underrated, might get you know, kind of lost in the shuffle in a couple of generations?
Yeah, so in my opinion, this guy single-handedly brought a championship to us, and I'm going to say Brad Lidge.
Brad Lidge is, and John, I'll put you up on hold. We'll get you qualified for a pair of tickets. Brad Lidge is a good one, but here's the thing with Brad Lidge. He had, I think, two great seasons. He had one great season here, obviously, and then he had one great season in Houston. So I want to take a look at Brad Lidge's numbers because I quite frankly, I don't think they're special. He had a 42-save season in Houston where he had a 2.2 ERA. All right, so he had two good seasons because he had a 1.9 ERA in 80 appearances with 29 saves in 2004. And then they go to the World Series in 2005. It's probably his second best season behind the year he had with the Phillies, where he had a 1.9 ERA and you know was perfect on the season. Does 3 years qualify for enough? He's got 225 career saves. That would put him, let's see, career saves all time. Let's see the all time leaders. Where does that put him? He's pretty buried. I mean, it's not particularly close. His 225 career saves puts him in 44th all time. He is, 44th all time. Joaquin Soria is still active, but if he'd have gotten one more, he'd be in 43rd with Joaquin Soria. Mark Melanson still active, has 232. I don't know if Brad Lidge works there. I love Brad Lidge. I'll never forget Brad Lidge. Brad Lidge, if I saw Brad Lidge today, first thing I'd say is, can I buy you a beer? And if I don't know Brad Lidge personally, like if he doesn't drink, can I buy you a soda? Right? Like I'd hang out with Brad Lidge just to say thank you. I don't know Brad Lidge, right? I don't know what Brad Lidge is about, but just to say like, hey, you're never going to buy a drink again in this town. But he had two great seasons, maybe three. I don't know if that's enough. Does three great seasons, is three great seasons better than like 10 good seasons? I don't know. Luckily for Brad Lidge, two of the three great years he had, his teams went to the World Series. In 05, the Astros, you know, went to the World Series, lost to Chicago. And then in 08, Phillies won the World Series. He was an integral part of that, for both of them. I don't know if Brad Lidge, in totality, had a great career. Let's take a look at the numbers. Like I said, 225 saves. And by the way, 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. A 3.5 ERA career. I don't think so. I don't think so. 610-632-0975. Mike on the cell is back with us now. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Tyler, can you hear me?
I got you. Yep.
All right, cool. I just want to say before anything that I have lost a lot of my Flyers knowledge over the years. It's just, you know, the Sixers making leaps and bounds.
That's okay.
The Eagles making leaps and bounds. My knowledge is kind of diminished, but I absolutely love the Ryan Ellis trade. Absolutely love it.
I do too.
I have been saying for years that the thing that is holding this team back from going to the Stanley Cup is that veteran presence on the first pair, and that is exactly what Ryan Ellis is. And he's got a pretty cool beard, so.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, as they like to talk about the flow, right, with the lettuce is the hair, the beard, yeah. The beard's solid. But yes, you get a top pair defenseman, right, and Jason talked about all this, right-handed top pair defenseman, somebody you desperately needed because this defense was horrendous. So this guy not only helps you defensively, but he helps Carter Hart, you know, more importantly, maybe just get some of that confidence back.
Yeah, absolutely. I also wanted to answer your question. So you were saying that who is going to be our third line center, basically? And I have an answer for that. Claude Giroux.
Okay, so you're moving Giroux back to center off the wing.
Yeah, I really think that that's the move because he's a guy, he's getting older, you know, he isn't as skilled as he once was, and he's still that veteran presence. He's our captain. I think he would be perfect on the third line, and he's one of the better faceoff guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know he's a tremendous faceoff guy, right? He and Couturier's percentage is just insane.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at one lineup in particular. Hockey guy I really appreciate, Brandon Sommerman, has it as Giroux is the third line right winger. With the third line center not paired yet, like not put in yet, right? So he has Couturier and Hayes at 1-2, and then Tanner Lyszynski is the 4, but nothing yet is the 3. I'd be interested to see how they fill that role. That's just one guy's opinion, but I respect this guy's hockey, you know, acumen, so.
Yeah, I like that. But I'd really like to see him play center again. I think it was a mistake moving him to the wing originally, but his talent has diminished over the years, obviously. So maybe putting him back at center and pairing him up with I can't really tell you who all the forwards are on the Flyers right now, but whoever they pair him up with, I think that'll be a great third.
Remember, it's going to depend on what happens with the expansion draft because obviously players are going to be left unprotected. They've not announced that list yet, but I assume they will shortly. So that's one. You know, the draft obviously is coming up. You don't know what's going to happen with guys like Morgan Frost and Wade Allison and things like that. So they'll figure it out. But Giroux is the third line center. I think immediately, like in my head, it sounds great. I'd like to see how it works on the ice.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
Do you have a player from the 2000s? I have one from every league was underrated. That maybe the generations behind us or behind, you know, the next generation and the one after that might not realize how good they were.
Well, I had one off the top of my head, and considering I've been talking about the Flyers this whole call, I'm going to give you a Flyer. Kimmo Tiimonen.
Kimmo Tiimonen.
Before we got Chris Pronger, he was the number one defenseman on this team. He was the best defenseman on this team. He took us to multiple Eastern Conference Finals. I think the work that he did while he was here before we got Chris Pronger is so overlooked because of Chris Pronger.
I have never been, and Mike, I'm going to put you on hold so we Dylan can get your information. We'll qualify you for a pair of FanFest tickets with Kimmo Tiimonen. And I've never was more excited watching a guy not play for one of my teams lift a championship trophy than when I saw Kimmo Tiimonen lift the Stanley Cup for the Chicago Blackhawks because it was a guy that gave everything to the Flyers. And by the way, a lot of comparisons to Ryan Ellis, you know, with the age and the productivity and things like that. Not the same player, but I've seen the comparison already. Kimmo Tiimonen was 32, I think, when the Flyers acquired him. Ryan Ellis is 30. Kimmo Tiimonen gave the Flyers quite a few really good years. And, you know, like I said, I was really happy for him when he won the Stanley Cup with Chicago. The year they traded him. Still, however, none of the four guys that I have listed here that Dylan and I came up with a list have been selected yet, so no immediate qualifiers, or no immediate winners, I should say. But we do have some qualifiers now, so if everything holds, our qualifiers will, in fact, be our winners. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. I'm Tyler Zulli as we take you until 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.